Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we talk about those things that matter for time and for eternity. Yesterday was International Women's Day, and I chose to single out the Theotokos. The reason is that the Virgin Mary is the quintessence of what it means to experience union with God. The first Eve was deceived. She became a sinner. The last Eve conceived and brought forth a Savior. She is the quintessence of deification. St. Gregory Palamas described the Virgin Mary as the boundary of created and uncreated. She is one who crossed the frontier which separates us from the age to come, and as such, the last Eve, who bore in her body the last Adam, is forever exalted as more honorable than the cherubim and incomparably more glorious than the seraphim. Well, today I want to again focus on fasting. I talked about that on Clean Monday 2 days ago, and I want to continue speaking about it today because I think all too often we neglect the spiritual disciplines that can transform us. Giving mental assent to truth propositions of the historic Christian faith is important. But mental assent and good intentions do not in and of themselves produce transformation. It is not just our beliefs that oftentimes need alteration. It's our behaviors. If our habits remain the same, our lives will remain the same as well. I can't tell you how many people have told me that they would dearly love to memorize the Scriptures. Few, however, are willing to embrace the very disciplines that are necessary to carve the Word of God into the canvas of their consciousness. Good intentions are many. Disciplines are few. We started the discipline of fasting on Clean Monday 2 days ago, and for many, that meant fasting in a true intentional way, fasting from food and from water. I did that once when I was going through chemotherapy, and I think it really helped the chemotherapy to be efficacious for my disease in killing the bad cells while not being as harsh on the good cells. Unfortunately, I have to admit, though I continue fasting today, I have not done an entire fast this year. I simply couldn't do it. So I'm doing the regular Orthodox fast, but I haven't done the entire fast as some people have done for the first 3 days. But today, Wednesday, March 9, 2022, I want to again emphasize the importance of the spiritual disciplines of prayer, of almsgiving, and of fasting. As I just previously mentioned, if our habits remain the same, our lives will remain the same as well. We all have weaknesses, and those weaknesses are essential to master. We must practice fasting. When we do fast for all the right reasons, remember our Lord said that when you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. They have their reward in full. So when you fast, said Jesus, put oil on your head, wash your face, so it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So again, we have to fast for the right reasons. We must not seek abstention from food and water in order to curry the favor of God. We abstain from food and water in order to experience union with God. I fear that a primary reason that there's so little emphasis placed on fasting in the modern church is that it is perceived to be a warped monastic practice, a practice by which medieval Christians tried to gain righteousness apart from faith. But that's not why we fast. And when we consider this subject on today's broadcast, I can't help but think about how a wicked city, one of the most wicked cities of antiquity, practiced this very discipline. I'm talking about a city whose wickedness was so pronounced that it had become a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. And thus God commissioned the prophet Jonah to go to the city I'm talking about, Nineveh. I often describe it as the diamond of Assyria. It is, as it were, embedded in the golden arc of the Fertile Crescent, midway between the Mediterranean and Caspian Seas. And there, Jonah proclaimed that great city, that great city of antiquity, was to be utterly destroyed. In somber response, the Ninevites declared a fast. All of them from greatest to least, put on sackcloth. Imagine, picture this in your mind, a prostituted pagan city fasting in sackcloth and ashes. But when God saw what they did and how they had turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. And he didn't bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. And the great Assyrian city, of course, is not alone in history. There are many nations throughout history that have fasted and prayed for the mercy of God, and we as America are one of them. I've mentioned this before on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but in the midst of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln called on all Americans to participate in a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. His words are memorable. He said that we have grown in numbers, in wealth, in power. We have grown as no nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. Therefore, said Lincoln, it behooves us to humble ourselves before the offended power, before God, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. What Abraham Lincoln called America to do, I think we ought to think about doing in the present. All too often we think that as a civilization we will last forever. That our wisdom and stature, our ingenuity, is sufficient to save us. But only God is sufficient to save us. And while we are as yet a free nation, we as American Christians must do what we can to advance the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I come back from the break, I want to talk about what happened on April 30, 1863. Stay tuned for more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because we'll be right back.
The miraculous resurrection of Jesus did more than reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being. Yet many believers are ill-equipped to provide persuasive, credible answers to unbelievers who consider the central event of Christianity nothing more than mythological nonsense. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, lays out the solid, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology that demonstrates the fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It was mentioned before the break that in the midst of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln called on all Americans to participate in a national day of prayer and fasting. On April 30, 1863, this is so hard to believe in the present, but on that date, the American people, in compliance with the request of the Senate, along with the proclamation of President Lincoln, abstained from their ordinary secular pursuits. They humbled themselves. They devoted themselves to fasting and prayer. Why? Because they sought the restoration of a divided country. We're in much the same circumstance today. We're divided for different reasons, but we're divided. But the reason Abraham Lincoln did what he did was because he knew the Bible. He knew that fasting finds its precedent in Scripture. Not just fasting in general, but national fasting. Think about this. 12 centuries before Christ, Samuel, who of course was the last judge of Israel, assembled the Israelites for a national day of fasting. They poured out water. They begged the Lord to forgive their idolatry, to wash away their sins. Or, in the days of Nehemiah, Israel separated herself in the sanctuary and renounced heathenism. The Israelites wore sackcloth, and they put dust on their heads as they fasted. Or think Joel. Joel, who likened the invasion of foreign hordes, the hordes that plundered Jerusalem and left her desolate, to an apocalyptic army of locusts. He likewise consecrated a sacred fast in Jerusalem. And there the people of the promise begged the Lord to forgive their iniquities. And they did so with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Of course, the most exceptional fasting account in the whole of Scripture took place at the time of the Exodus. And I'm not talking here about an ordinary fast. This was an extraordinary fast. It was a fast from food and water for 40 days and 40 nights. I wouldn't suggest you try that. And by the way, this wasn't just once, but on three separate occasions and over a relatively short period of time. In other words, a total of 120 days and nights without food and water. Even more amazing than this biblical account is that the one fasting was already in his 80th year of life. The story I'm telling, of course, is that of Moses, who climbed to the top of Mount Sinai and was absorbed into the cloud of God's glory. There he experienced God as the source of life and living. It was on the mountaintop that Moses, he was permitted to experientially know that a man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He wasn't kept alive by bread and water, but by being interpenetrated by the uncreated energy, the Zoe, the spiritual energy of God. A life source not physical, but manifestly divine in origin. Had Moses not participated in the divine nature, he would most certainly have died. Because a human being can abstain from food for 40 days, but not from water. Within a week's time, death becomes inevitable. But Moses didn't die. In fact, he didn't even grow weary. After 40 days and 40 nights without food and water, he traversed Mount Sinai from top to bottom. And he watched in horror as he descended the mountain, because the children of Israel were already engorged on food and drink, and in the process worshiping a golden calf. Well, Moses, with what can be described as nothing other than supernatural energy, ground that detestable idol into dust. And then he fell prostrate before the Lord for yet another 40 days. Not only 40 days, but 40 days and 40 nights, during which he ate no bread and drank no water. And on top of all of that, Moses ascended Mount Sinai, fasting yet again for 40 days and 40 nights. When he came down from Mount Sinai, you probably remember the story. It's etched in all of our minds. His face quite literally glowed with the glory of God. Well, you know, that account of fasting is miraculous, not in the sense of a momentary disruption of natural law, but rather in the sense of divine disclosure of another reality. Moses had stepped, as it were, through the wardrobe into Narnia, and he had encountered a world in which the ingestion of food and water was, well, superfluous. And Moses is not a solitary account. Think Elijah, he the prototypical prophet. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And thereafter, he too experienced the graces of God, not in a cloud of glory, nor in a fiery vision, but in the sound of a gentle breeze. Jesus likewise abstained from food, and he is the quintessential example. He is the new Moses leading us into a better covenant. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Israel had murmured against God in the midst of wilderness manna, but Jesus did not. He cherished the manna from heaven more than life itself. His rebuke of Satan says it all. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, the normal human mode of existence depends on ingestion, on digestion, on metabolism of food and water. But as Jesus made plain, there is an alternate energy supply. This he spoke of when he spoke to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. This is what our Lord said: whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I'm going to give to him will have an alternate energy supply. So drink of physical water, you're going to thirst again. But drink of the water that I will give, you'll never thirst. Well, shortly thereafter, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." That, of course, was the way of the Master. He communicated spiritual realities by means of earthly, empirically perceptible realities. That which might best be described as living metaphors. And the reason was that the disciples understood food and water, but Jesus wanted them to understand nourishment on a higher plane. They were acquainted with the energy that is derived from food. Jesus acquainted them with the energy that comes from the Father. And ultimately, the disciples gained a glimpse of this otherworldly reality on the Mount of Transfiguration. There it was that Peter, James, and John were witnesses to a dazzling display of uncreated energy. This is the very energy that we can experience in the present as we fast from food and feast on God. That's what I wrote about in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. In fact, I have a section on abstinence in this book, one of the spiritual disciplines that can help you as you make the trek from this life to the life that is to come. Well, we'll talk more about fasting in tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.